Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now the time is 22 minutes to 11 o'clock. It's been a while since I've spoken to my next guest, and a lot has happened since. Emily Parrish-Smith, live in studio. Good morning to you, Emily.
Good morning, Ryan.
It's good to see you. It's been a while,
yeah,
like I
said. Yeah, you too. You look very well.
Well, thank you, and thank you for coming along.
You look Eastery.
Well, thank you. I'm not sure what that means, but I'll take it because we're nearly on holidays, so that's exciting.
Take it, Ryan.
Now, we're going to take a serious look today at the types of sexuality that have been on all over our newspapers in the last few months, particularly in view of the Graham Dwyer case, without referring to that case itself. It threw up so many questions, particularly the idea of online sex and online sexual behaviour. And it went into areas that we wouldn't have been discussing in a national sense.
Sure.
That has been happening since then. So what to begin with, what is and isn't acceptable, particularly if you flirt with the more, what are so-called, say, dangerous sides of sexuality, and how would you define dangerous in this world?
Well, isn't that interesting? Because dangerous can be anything. I mean, are you when you ask that question, are you thinking of BDSM? Is that what you're thinking of dangerous?
I'm thinking of probably of knives and blades and that side of things, that end of it, where it ends in cutting and bleeding and so forth.
Yeah. Well, you see, the thing is, that's a very, very small small amount of people who would engage in that sort of behaviour. And usually, done correctly and ethically, which is, you see, we have to separate what we've been hearing about in that case from ethical BDSM, because there's absolutely no connection than he used some of those sites to find his victim.
Right. Let's talk about BDSM then. And can you define it for us and tell us what it is?
Well, bondage, dominance, sadism, masochism.
Right.
But you see, there's a very strong community in Ireland, and they're a bunch, as far as I know, a very ethical bunch of people.
Sure.
You're going to get dangerous people walking amongst us all over the place. But the sort of people who really, really want to damage and hurt people, there aren't many of those people.
Yeah.
But they're certainly going to be found throughout society, not in this area of society in particular. So BDSM would have very strong boundaries and guidelines on how to be safe, sane and consensual. They're the three words they tend to use an awful lot as guidelines. And then they would have very specific guidelines around how to set up a relationship where you might engage in something that may be a power exchange. So anything where you have not had a conversation or many conversations in advance of any sort of power exchange is not going to be classified as ethical BDSM. It's something else. It's coercion, it's manipulation, it's abuse of some kind. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been asked if it's okay to take your power, and therefore you haven't given your power in advance of some kind of play, mm-hmm. it's not BDSM. It's something else that can happen throughout any kind of relationship.
Is there a typical BDSM type of encounter, or is it an array, a spectrum of things that one can do in this world?
Yeah, there's a massive amount of things to do. But again, if they're done within the confines of the guidelines and the ethics and the standards of BDSM, then they still can be very varied. It can be anything from psychological power exchange, in other words, allowing your partner to make all the decisions for you on a date. Could be a very gentle version of it, where you have absolutely no say from the minute from what you're going to wear to where you're going, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, how long you're going to stay, and what's going to happen afterwards. That can be a gentle form of power exchange, mm-hmm. But you have to have arranged that in advance, otherwise it's just being bullied.
Yeah.
And it can go all the way through spanking, tying up, blindfolding, and then it can get into the more extreme stuff where actual pain is encountered. But again, the people who engage in that ethically, the people who are giving the pain, will be trained, and they will be very boundaried, and they will be very caring and very aware of the limits that have been set by the person experiencing the pain.
Trained. by
trained by other professionals. I mean, this is a very
you're talking about a dom, a dominatrix.
Okay. Dom is for male or female, but it's just spelt differently. There's an extra M and D for females, so right. But it's dom. So there are professional doms who, and you can learn how to do this stuff. So for bloodletting and knife play, the people who do that ethically are very highly trained. Equally, they're not going to engage in that kind of behavior while they are in a sexual act, because they wouldn't be able to control what they're doing, and therefore keep the person safe that they're doing it to.
So I'm a little queasy just hearing that, given the light of what happened in recently. And so you can understand where, I don't know if I'm on my own on that, but I would feel a bit...
No, because what he did was nothing to do with her safety. He was trying to hurt her. It's different. He was trying to wear her down.
So talk about the vulnerability of people on the internet. And like you made a very valid point a few minutes ago, which is whatever you do, whether you're like regular missionary position, just regular sex, if you like, as opposed to the other end of things, shall we say, there will always be a dark creature among us.
There you go.
And that's the way it is. And I appreciate that point entirely.
Yeah.
But on the internet, and this was a point that was made by poor old Elena O'Hara's family, which was, we hope that people tread more carefully. It was a very elegant point made by people who had bigger things on their mind.
Absolutely. And I was very impressed that they were able to say that.
And why
do
you think that's so important? Or how do you think we can help in that their appeal?
Well, I think it's a really good point. There's this fascination with being able to have unconstrained sex with no responsibility. It's very exciting for people. And sometimes part of the excitement is that there's a risk involved, because you're meeting a stranger and you're getting straight down to getting naked and having and engaging in sexual acts. That's okay, that's fine. But you have to be aware that you can still feel the adrenaline of meeting a stranger and having anonymous sex or a casual sex, and you can still be safe at the same time. Now, safety in relation to internet dating or hookup sites or anything else, there are things you can do across the board and things that people should do. You're not safe going on an internet site on a website and internet dating and meeting somebody in their house for the first time, for example, without telling people where you are.
Sure.
Even if you've met them on a very regular dating site. So you need to be just careful. You need to tell somebody where you're going, who you're going with. You need to be phoned up halfway through your date, or even more times through your date, and you need to answer your phone so people know where you are, what's going on, are you okay? They need to know when you're coming home. Those are basics for any date you go on with somebody you don't know.
Imagine you're in a relationship with somebody for a year or two and you have fetishistic tendencies, but you didn't ever bring it up with your partner. And then you get to a point where you think, right, this is all grand, but a bit bored now, we want to bring it up another level. And she says, I don't know what to talk about. That's not my bag at all. What happens when that imbalance comes, where one becomes the adventurer and the other becomes just happy with the regular?
Well, it's a very tricky one, because fetishes are, you know, they tend to develop at a much younger age. So people tend to have an idea that they have them from a younger age than that, because they tend to develop while you're developing your sexual identity.
Yeah.
So to take it back a step, I would really recommend, it's a risk, but I would really recommend trying to be a bit more open about it before you get too invested, or before your partner gets invested, because the partner can often feel a bit duped if 2 years in they suddenly find out that you like to dress as a woman, or you know, you have a fetish about shoes and they don't. It can get a bit trickier. So at the risk of losing your relationship, but also at the risk of being judged, and I think that's the reason people keep these things to themselves, it's probably better in the long run to be honest early on.
Yeah.
You could maybe even dip your toe in the water and just have general conversations about kink or about fetishes and get an idea where this person is coming from. Believe them. If it freaks them out, they're probably going to be even more freaked out when they learn that it's something you do.
Is it a deal breaker, I wonder?
It can be.
Yeah.
And it can be. And if you have a fetish, as long as you're not hurting anybody and everyone's consensual, you shouldn't be shamed.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Were you surprised by the volume of interest in this country with be sorry, BDSM. And even we had Dervla MacDonald on the Late Late from Friday talking about the case we were talking about earlier on. And she said before we came on air, she went online to see how active the sites were, particularly the bigger ones. And sure enough, there were thousands of people in this country on the sites, and another significant figure on, you know, live webcams doing stuff. Would that come as any surprise to you at all? Or
none?
It's kind of a hidden story of it in Ireland, isn't it, in some respects?
It's pretty simple. It's a law of nature, isn't it? You can't have dark without light. You can't have light without dark. You can't have white picket fences and mass on Sunday without having a seedy underbelly. We have to have balance. We're human. We're none of us all good and we're none of us all bad. And the healthiest of us are those who know how to balance both and accept both parts of ourselves. I think the more you can't accept it, the more it's hidden, the more it's judged and pushed aside, the more space there is for the shadows and for the dangerous people to lurk in them. So I do think that wherever there is, that kind of moralistic or religiosity in religious attitude to life, there's going to have to be the balance to that.
Because we're not, and most times you come in and see assembly, we bring up the point that we're not great at talking about sex and sexuality in this country. Never have. It's always been awkward, and it's always been
And this is
kind of giggly and puerile.
And then something like this happens, and it just knocks us all for six, because not only is it the complete opposite to anything that is in any way funny or, you know, to make us giggle, not only that, but we are struck again with our inability to cope with anything that is sexual, and then this horrendous thing that's happened as well. It leaves us all, I think, feeling a little bit powerless and a little bit like we've been hit, hit ourselves, struck in the face by this. It's, what do you do with it?
Well, but to go back briefly to the internet question and online, is that I've always said it's the Wild West. I've always said it's unpoliceable.
Yeah.
It continues to be just that. I mean, it's really just, you're just wandering into the fog.
Yes, but there are fog lights. I mean, there are ways to do it, and there are well-trodden paths. So I would say, if you're interested in BDSM, this is the tricky thing in Ireland, because people may be at risk of losing their jobs if it's found out that they're engaging in this kind of activity, for example. So those people are more pushed towards anonymous internet and websites.
Yeah.
And that's really unfortunate. The safest way to go about this is to go to some of these meetups and meet people who are on the scene, take your time, talk to people, see what you think, get to know people, get people recommended to you, learn before you engage in it. If you want to do this in any sort of, serious way, if you're just messing around in the bedroom with someone you trust, that's different. But I'm talking about if you want to get onto the scene, or you're interested in really visiting a dungeon or anything like that, don't pick up a number off the internet or off a website without knowing who the hell you're dealing with.
Yeah, safety is key. Yeah.
Meet people and get support from people who understand this life.
All right, Emily, thank you for coming in to see us today.
Thanks,
Ryan. We'll do it again soon, hopefully.
Yeah, it's
Emily
Pyra-Smith. Thank you.
Always good to see you. Thank you.